Hello and welcome back to the Long 2 podcast. I'm Timms and I'm alongside my co-host Barn. Barn, how are you this week?
Timms, all good, sir. Yeah, you too. Did you have a nice time in Mallorca?
Yep, it was a lovely time, thank you. Didn't quite watch as much basketball as I would have hoped for there, but it was a good week nonetheless. But I know you've been keeping a close eye on things, Barn, particularly the NBA Cup this week.
Sure have, Timms. I managed to watch a lot of the NBA Cup. You saw the results, Timms, obviously.
Of course, and I've caught up with those games because we love the NBA Cup. So yeah,
sure I enjoyed it very much. Yeah, and in a very boring week of basketball this week, like you said last week, Timms, what would we be talking about at this point in the season? The NBA Cup is such a great addition.
Yeah.
Now, I think the main talking point about the Cup this week, Timms, was the decision at the end of the Warriors-Rockets game. Did you see this?
I did, yeah. It's a loose ball, right?
Loose ball and loose ball foul called on the Warriors when, I mean, let's be honest, it probably was a loose ball foul, yes, but 3 seconds before, it was also probably a loose ball foul on Gary Payton as well. So it's just consistency that they're looking for here. So it was a terrible call, but only because it hadn't been called on GP the second 2 seconds before. Neither of them should have been called, in my opinion, and I'm sure in the whole of the NBA fan base's opinion, and within the players themselves, I'm sure they'd both agree neither of them should have been called. And in a tight game like that, it's an elimination game, basically, isn't it, Timms?
Yeah.
With so much on the line, you should not be making calls like that with 3 seconds to go.
Completely agree. But it was a good game, wasn't it? I think, if I am not mistaken, that's the Rockets' first win against the Warriors in 15 attempts. They've lost 15 games in a row to the Warriors, dating back to 2020. And yeah, they dump out the Warriors, my pick to win the NBA Cup, so there goes that. But the Warriors were up 6 with, I think, a minute and a half left, Barn. They couldn't hold on to that lead. It was a gritty game as well, low scoring, 90-91 in the end.
Timms, it was a terrible shooting game, mate. Yeah. The Warriors, obviously known for how good their three-point shooting is, they shot 31% from three, and the Rockets, 22% from three. That's awful, isn't it?
Yeah, horrid. Pretty gritty game. Old school game, really, which is not what I expected from those two teams. But the young Rockets, they seem to be for real for now, Barn.
Yeah, sure do, Timms. And gritty, old school, perfect game for someone like Alperen Sengun. And he was actually the standout performer for me. He had an absolutely great game. 26, 11 and 5. 5 assists, Timms. Sometimes he gets a few more, but my God, were they nice. You watch him, he is like a Jokic, Domas type player. He's just so fun to watch, mate. And he had 3 steals to go along with it as well.
Yeah, for sure. But in a low-scoring game, 26, 11 and 5 is a pretty big stat line.
You know? Oh, brilliant. Yeah, yeah. Jalen Green, he really let the side down over the course of the game. I think he had 9 points before his 2 free throws at the end. But yeah, your favourites, Timms, the Terra Twins, they had good efficiency in small minutes, so... Yeah, no, I like what I saw from the Rockets in what was not an amazing game to watch the whole thing of.
For sure. And I guess this goes back to what we spoke about recently about the Rockets, in that, you know, they don't have one player who will step up every single night. I mean, that player is probably Sengun, but the rest of their players are definitely inconsistent. You mentioned Jalen Green, he had an off night. Freddie VanVleet shot 3 for 13 as well, but they still managed to get across the line. So I thought that would be a bigger problem for them this season than it has turned out to be, their lack of consistent scorers across the board, I guess. But hey, they're heading to the semi-finals. And, Barn, they are facing the OKC Thunder, who dumped out your Mavericks in, I would say, I'm afraid, pretty convincing fashion, wouldn't you?
I couldn't agree more with you, Timms. Yeah, I'll be completely honest, I hadn't watched much of the Thunder this season, and I haven't talked about them much for that reason. Because also, you expect them to be at the top of the West, so maybe that's the reason we haven't talked about them too much. But Timms, what an amazing outfit the Thunder are. Wow. Didn't realise how good they were defensively, I just didn't. So we beat them a few weeks ago when Luka was out, which I did watch, and they were missing a couple of players. I think Hartenstein was out, obviously Chet's still out, but we looked reasonably good against them, and SGA, I think he had 30 plus, so I thought, oh, great, we might actually have a chance, but no way. No, they stuck Lou Dort on Luka, and my God, did he do an amazing job. He was incredible. And it must have just been pissing Luka off so much, because as soon as Luka would come out the game, Lou Dort would come out the game. And as soon as Luka went back to the scorer's table to come back in, Lou Dort would come back in as well. Yeah. His minutes must have matched them exactly. But no, Tims, I could not believe how good OKC were, to be honest. SGA, completely unguardable. We just didn't have an answer for him. Did not have an answer for him. No one could get near him. 39, 8 and 5. If I said we could guard him, I would just be a complete liar. Points off turnovers. They nailed us 36-17, which is gross. That's a complete difference maker. And I looked this up afterwards, Sims. OKC, not only do they force the most turnovers in the league, they also commit the least. Isn't that an amazing stat?
Incredible.
You'd think it would be one or the other, wouldn't you?
For sure. And like you say, that defensively, they're incredible. And to say that without Chet Holmgren is quite the statement. They basically have lockdown perimeter defenders everywhere. Hartenstein manning the middle at the moment. And then Shea, obviously, on the offensive end, who is, like you say, completely unguardable. 15 of 23 he shot in this game, Bam.
Yeah, we just didn't have an answer.
Comparing that to Luka's 5 of 15, really struggled. 16 points. I can't remember seeing Luka put up 16 points or less.
Tims, he had 2 at halftime, I think. He was 1 of 9.
Yeah, incredible. But one shining light for the Mavs was your favourite, Najee Marshall. 7 of 11 from the field, 19 points. He had a good game. So at least there's that.
He was back, Tims. Yeah. And when you have players like Luka and Kyrie, when they're both healthy, then it's people like Najee Marshall, they're going to get better shots. When you're kind of double, triple teaming Luka, then it's nice to see Najee Marshall getting those looks and making them.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just checking his minutes lately. He has played close to 30 minutes in most of his recent games.
Who, Najee, Tim?
Well, Najee Marshall. Obviously, yeah. He had that spell of 20-point games in a row. He then picked up a little injury, did he?
He had respiratory issues. Right. Yeah, he had trouble breathing.
That's right. So, hopefully he can keep healthy and keep a good run of minutes going, because his scoring is actually really solid, like you say, when he's playing those big minutes.
Yeah, and it's not like he's chucking up a huge amount of shots, Tims. He's actually making the shots he's taking. Yeah, unlike, OKC were really living and dying by the three. I didn't actually look up after how many threes they attempted, but it must have been an absolute ton.
I'll tell you now, Barn, it was 50. 53. 50. Made 20 as well.
Yeah, and if you watch the game, it felt like 100. It was crazy.
Yeah, quite something. Yeah. So that makes it a Thunder Rockets semi-final in Vegas. But let's head to the East first before we have a look forward to that. Because first up, we had the Magic against the Bucks. And the Magic without Paolo Banchero and without Franz Wagner.
No.
Guy Franz, gutted to see him go down. But the Bucks did pull it out just about in the end. But what a resilient fight without their two best players, Barn.
Oh, Tims, it was an amazing fight from the Magic. They were leading, like, deep into the third. Could not believe it. No, Jalen Suggs, it seems like whoever is injured, someone is able to take the reins, don't you think?
Yeah, for
Jalen
sure.
Jalen Suggs has just stepped up. He's a great two-way player anyway, but he's taken on the offensive load now. Goga Batadze, he had a great game. He's had a couple of really good games. He had 12, 14 and 4 against the Bucks, and the game before he had 21, 16 and 4 against the Suns. The Suns minus KD and Beal, but they do nothing defensively anyway, so. No, the Magic, yeah, I just love them, Tims. They are going to be such a force to reckon with when Paolo and Franz are healthy together, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. And incredibly, I think Franz has exactly the same injury that Paolo has.
Yeah.
So he's going to be out for at least a few weeks, probably upwards of a month. But yeah, I'm gutted to see them not get a chance in this cup with at least Franz healthy, because they've been so fun to watch with him leading them in the last few weeks with Paolo out.
I was going to say they lost to a really solid Bucks team. The Bucks were my pick to win the NBA Cup, and if I was a betting man, I would switch my pick to OKC, but I'm obviously sticking with my Bucks. Top scoring duo in the league in Damon Giannis, and their role players are now actually doing what they should be doing. Tims, Portis had a good game against the Magic, and yeah, Brook Lopez is shooting like he should be again and playing like a top 10 defensive player that we know he's been the last few years. No, they're actually looking really solid again.
Yeah, absolutely. And you may have noticed Chris Middleton's just come back for them. He's played 3 games against the Magic. He actually had 0 points of 0 for 2 shooting, but 8 assists. So
yeah.
That line right there.
And he didn't play many minutes, Tims, I don't think,
he was off the bench, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But one player who was also off the bench for them was AJ Green. Bam. Have you watched much AJ Green this year?
No, but I was looking at his basketball reference earlier, actually. Yeah. I'll be honest, Tim, I haven't watched much of him at all, but I now know his stats just through pure basketball reference analytics.
Yeah, he's been chucking it up from 3, and I think he's shooting a pretty good percentage this year as well. I'll get it up for you shortly, but...
Tim, 47.5. He's shooting from 3 this season. Yeah.
I think Taurean Prince as well in the Bucks is shooting upwards of 50% from 3, getting open looks from Giannis and Dame, no doubt. But the important thing to note about AJ Green is that we have a new nickname, Bam.
Yes, sir.
And so AJ Green has been titled Dairy Bird by the commentators, which I'm enjoying very much, actually. So
what's the reason behind it, Tim?
He's mini Larry Bird. Not quite sure of anything else. But Dairy Bird kind of made me have a little giggle. I don't think it's quite up on the echelons of Great Barrier Thief in terms of nicknames, but it's a good one, and I'm happy to use that going forward.
Yeah, I like it, Tim. I like it. And Tim's game number 2 in the East was exactly what we were after. Well, not exactly what we were after. But the Hawk, Trae Young. Wow. He did it again.
What we were after, Barn. It was definitely what we were after.
Yeah, sure was. Now, the Knicks were lacking offensively. They didn't have a great game. You know what? Neither team shot that well, Tim's, to be honest with you. Neither team shot that well at all. The Knicks were relying on Josh Hart to score the ball in the fourth, which we know how... I love Josh Hart. He's a great player, but he does his work on the defensive end usually, and the other guys take the reins offensively. Yeah, and with the depth they have, it shouldn't be him receiving the ball and making the shots in the fourth, should it?
Absolutely not. And looking now, Karl Anthony Towns, 7 of 15, 19 points. Brunson, 5 of 15, only 14 points.
Brunson had an awful game, yeah.
Yeah, but it was the Hawks in the third quarter. They won the quarter 34-18. I think they had a 29-7 run in that quarter. And that's where they won the game for sure.
Yeah.
And Trae Young, he owns Madison Square Garden, Barn. I mean, 22 points, 11 assists. Solid game for him. Only 8 of 22 from the field. But yeah, like I said, he owned that game. Jalen Johnson as well. Oh, I have to say, he's an incredible player. I think he's my front runner now for the most improved player of the year after our guy Franz Wagner's gone down. But he had 21, 15 and 7 in this game. Handling the ball a lot as well. 2 steals, 2 blocks as well. Plus 16, plus minus as well.
Wow.
Jalen Johnson is the real deal. I think... The Hawks are now 14-12. They started the season a few games under 500. They're a few games above that now. And I think Jalen Johnson's improvement this season is definitely a massive reason behind that.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah. Absolutely 100%. And also, Yeka Okongwu, who I wasn't too familiar with, he's been brilliant this season in the minutes he's played, hasn't he?
Absolutely.
He's been great. I mean, he only had 12 points the other night, but 8 of them came in the fourth. Him and Jalen Johnson were just dishing it to each other like there was no tomorrow. Yeah. I think Jalen had 6 or 8 points in the fourth as well, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Dyson Daniels, the shocking stat line of all these NBA Cup games, 0 steals, Barn.
I saw it. Yeah.
Hard to believe, but I have to say, I watched the whole third quarter of that Hawks run, and Dyson Daniels was playing just incredible defense on Jalen Brunson. I mean, we mentioned Jalen Brunson, 14 points. The Great Barrier Thief is the reason why. No, he didn't get any steals this game, but his defense was incredible. He's on it, and he runs so much. His hustle is incredible. So yeah, Dyson Daniels as well. What a pickup for the Hawks.
Yeah. Great pickup. No, I'm loving the Hawks, Tims. I'm loving the Hawks.
Yeah, me too, I have to say.
Tims, what do you rate their chances against the Bucks? Because the Hawks have been beating some amazing teams this season, but then losing... Well, sorry, the Hawks are the only team to beat the Cavs and lose to the Wizards, aren't they?
Yeah. Literally. I mean, I don't know how that's happened. How do I rate their chances? I'd love to say they've got a chance, you know. I think they're the informed team in the entire league right now, it feels like. They're certainly one of my favourite teams to watch right now, which I didn't think I'd be saying a few weeks ago, for sure. I mean, when you mentioned Trae Young a couple of weeks ago, I kind of said, oh, no, he's never going to be a title leading player. But I'm loving watching them burn. And I forgot to mention DeAndre Hunter as well. He had 24
points. Oh, yeah.
He's shooting efficiently, playing really well. They stuck Miles McBride on DeAndre Hunter for some of this of the third quarter bum. And literally, he just took him to... Miles McBride plays hard, but he's small, obviously, compared to DeAndre Hunter. And DeAndre Hunter just... He was saying, oh, he can't guard me. Shooting over him every time he had the ball. So, yeah. Hawks versus Bucks. I think they've got a chance. I think they've got a chance for sure.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Tim. And you're right, I've got DeAndre Hunter was at the top of my list to talk about on that Hawks game, because he was the real standout player, wasn't
Absolutely.
He?
Absolutely.
So if they can get, and yeah, when they get everyone going, then it's just great, isn't it? Absolutely great to watch.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just looking at Jalen Johnson's game log now, because he seems to be so consistent lately, always putting up 20 points, close to 10, if not more, rebounds.
Yeah.
Barn, in his last seven games, he's had 5 assists or above, which is incredible, playing alongside Trae Young. I mean, he's had 7 assists or more in 5 of his last 7 games.
Wow. And Tim's, he passes the eye test as well. He's so athletic. He's so fun to watch. Yeah, he's great. No, love Jalen Johnson. Love Jalen Johnson.
Absolutely. So who's Tim, your favorite, Bucks or Hawks?
Well, I'm going Bucks. I'm going back. I think I would love to say the Hawks, but one, I picked the Bucks at the very start, and with Giannis and Dame firing on all cylinders, plus the guys pitching in, I think they'll be a really tough team to beat. Now, if the Hawks can play how they've been playing against, let's say, the Cavs, or when they beat the Lakers, when they've been beating all of these teams, then it will be a great game, Timms. If they play how they played against the Wizards, it's not even any point watching.
Yeah, agree. But you know what? I'll back the Hawks to make the final. I think they're in form. I think they're hot right now. Can they stop the Greek Freak? No. But it's going to be a good game, I think. So I'll back the Hawks to edge it.
Yeah, fair enough, Tim. So I don't blame you. And the West?
Wow, we have Rockets versus Thunder. I can't look past the Thunder, Barn. They're just incredible right now. Both ends of the floor. Best defensive team in the league. The Rockets are good defensively as well, but I think the Thunder will win this actually quite comfortably.
Yeah, me too, Tim. So I don't think they have enough. And the Thunder are also a young team, but they're, it might sound stupid, but they're actually an experienced young team, aren't they? They've had a couple of seasons together. They've had big losses. They've had big highs. So I think they're ready. I think they're going to absolutely smash the Rockets.
Yeah, although Barn, I completely agree. But looking at the Thunder's game log, they've won 8 of their last 9 games. And the only game they lost in that span was to the Houston Rockets. 119-116 a couple of weeks ago. So maybe the Rockets feel like they have their number as well. And this Rockets team are feisty. So
yeah, true, Tim's true. I'm just looking at that game log now. Van Fleet went 38. Yeah, 5 of 9 from 3. But they held SGA to a mere 32, 8 and 5, which for him isn't too great. No, yeah, you're right, Tim's. If the Rockets play how they can, it will be an amazing game. But just feel like the Thunder, one, they have the momentum. They played amazing against us.
Yep.
The Rockets, they were okay against the Warriors. They won a scrappy game, which could have gone either way. The Warriors deserved just as much to be in this as the Rockets did as well. Whereas, the Thunder beat a very good Mavericks team. We've been on such good form recently, Sims. We're 11 of 12. That's the only game we've lost in the last...
Incredible.
Up until then. So, yeah, you're completely right, Tim. So the Rockets might feel like they do have the Thunder's number a bit, but I think they would be a bit naive to think that. We're competitive basketball. We're at the top of the heap with the NBA, so they have to think they're going to win. But they... what did Steve Kerr always say that I enjoyed? I'm going to have to look this up, Tim. It was something like relative fear or So you shouldn't be scared of the team, but you should understand that the players are pretty scary.
Appropriate fear.
Appropriate fear, that's it. Yeah, yeah. You shouldn't be scared of playing a team. I think it was about LeBron.
Yeah,
you shouldn't be scared of the guy, but you should have appropriate fear.
Yeah, that's quite a good quote, actually.
It's really good, isn't it? I think you could... you can associate it with all walks of life as well, not just competitive sports, can't you? You shouldn't be scared of doing something, but you should have appropriate fear.
Yeah, of course. It's good to have that appropriate fear. Yeah. But hey, so I'll have the Hawks versus Thunder in the Vegas final. And your pick, Barn?
My pick is the Bucks versus the Thunder, Tims. Bucks versus the Thunder.
Yeah, and I think either way, I'm loving the NBA Cup. I really am. And I can't again, we talk about this every week, but I can't imagine the NBA regular season at this point without the NBA Cup. Like, it adds so much to this first few months of the season.
Yeah, keeps us happy, Tims. Keeps us happy. And whilst we're on the teams in the NBA Cup, because there's not much more to say about the Magic, actually, because there hasn't been much basketball this week. But Tims, the Magic are the only team unbeaten at home this season. They're 10-0.
That's phenomenal, isn't it?
Isn't that incredible? And long may it continue. Who have they got at home coming up? I am just having a quick check.
Yeah, have a look.
We know they're lacking. We know they've got their two best players out. All their tough teams. They've got the Knicks at home, and then they face the Thunder.
Oi.
So that could go reasonably soon. We'll see.
That could do, but I really hope they keep it. And I'm so gutted Franz is out, honestly. One thing I have noted with the Magic, we mentioned Cole Anthony a few weeks ago. Mm. He's really struggling, Bum.
Yeah,
really
I know.
They need him now to be that spark plug off the bench that he has been. He's been their go-to scorer a few seasons ago.
Yeah.
But he's really struggling lately. And now is when they need him to just come on, even if it's 15 to 20 minutes a game, and just get some buckets, create some shots. Against the Bucks, Barn, he was 2 of 12 from the field, 4 points. And of course, he's a bit of a liability on the defensive end. So if he's not adding offensively, you can see why his minutes have dwindled this season as well. So I really hope for him he can get going. I saw a nice moment, actually, in the interview with Cole Anthony and Goga Bitadze. And Goga was kind of saying, he was bigging up Cole and saying, you know, you really helped us today. And you can almost feel Cole's lack of confidence right now, just in that interview. You know, he was like, oh, appreciate it, man. And they fist bump and whatever. And it was a nice moment, but I almost felt sorry for Cole, because you could see he's almost a shadow of his former, you know, he had so much swagger and confidence when he came into the league. So over these next few games, I hope he can get going a bit.
Yeah, for his sake and for the team's sake, Tims, because they need, like you said, with Franz out, they need someone to back Bitadze and Suggs up. But it's a shame to see people lacking in confidence, but hopefully the guys can build it back up for him. And touching on Goga Bitadze, Tims, do you remember the famous pick of him and Zion?
Of course.
Yeah, any listeners, if you haven't seen that picture, it's absolutely amazing. So it's on draft night, and people are interviewing Zion. There's like maybe 100 reporters all trying to get their mic to Zion. Bitadze is sat next to him. There is not one person at his table. Not one person at all. And then they put them side by side. I saw the picture again this week, and it said, I bet they wish they were interviewing Goga now.
Yeah, they got it the wrong way around, right?
Yeah, sure. No, exactly. But it's, he used it as fuel, Tims, obviously. It didn't affect him in the slightest. He obviously thought, right, I'm going to be the man. And yeah, past couple of games, he's really showing that.
Absolutely. He's become one of the crucial members of the Magic, for sure. Mm. But Bam, some other big news this week is surrounding, well, your Mavs are definitely involved, and that is the talk around a potential Jimmy Butler trade. We both love Jimmy. We think he's amazing. We were talking about playoff Jimmy being the best player ever of a couple of weeks ago.
Close to, yeah.
Shams, among others, have reported this, and the initial report was that the Heat are open to trading Jimmy Butler, and the three big teams involved, who could be involved, are the Rockets, Warriors, and your Dallas Mavericks. Then a couple of days later, I think, or maybe the following day, it was Shams reported that the Suns are also interested. And then what happens? I know you've been following this with Jimmy Butler.
Well, I was following exactly, Tims. I wasn't expecting it to take this turn, to be honest. No, I woke up this morning and saw that the Bernie Hill, Jimmy Butler's agent, said that Shams is basically talking shit. That these trade rumours are just completely false. Now, we did have a little chat before the podcast, Tim's. We were just chatting, weren't we? But you would... So, Tim's, you said that you thought Shams was telling the truth, which I'm sure there is an element of truth, but my point was that you wouldn't catch someone accusing Woj of lying ever, would you? So there must be some sort of truth, but Shams must have fabricated a part of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Bernie Hill, he knows that he can get caught out on this very easily by accusing Shams of lying. But at the same time, Shams knows he can get caught out on it very easily. So really strange situation here. Jimmy came out and he said, all publicity is good publicity. I didn't really mind what's being said about me to an extent. So Jimmy wasn't giving it too much stick or giving it too much weight. So we still don't quite know where any of this stands. Now, Tim's, yeah, you know how much I would love Jimmy on the Mavs. I mean, he's 35, but he still plays like he's 28. No, that guy would be amazing for us. Now, I'm not sure what we'd have to give up for Jimmy, one salary-wise, to what we've actually got to give up for him. We'd probably have to give up young players like Najee Marshall, maybe Jaden Hardy, etc., who I actually really like for us. So Jimmy might not end up working for us just because not really sure what the Heat would want from us, if that makes sense. I think he'd be a much better fit for the Warriors. Salary-wise, picks-wise, they have to give up. Young core they've got. They'd probably throw Kuminga in there, whether they'd like that or not. But yeah, really weird situation at the moment, Tim's, isn't it?
It's interesting, and I'm surprised that this has come out. The Heat are 13-10. They're not doing terribly. They're going to make the playoffs for sure in the East. So I'm surprised that this has come out, that they're open to seeing Jimmy move on. And like you say, he's on a $48 million contract, so it's going to take quite some doing from any of these teams to make it happen. I wonder if maybe someone like PJ Washington would have to be involved, who I'd certainly not want to trade if I was the Mavericks, Barn. But yeah, out of those three teams, I would definitely say the Warriors are the leading contender. I can see him on the Warriors. And I mean, Steph Curry is 36, Barn.
Yeah.
He's not going to get many more chances at another title for the Warriors. And the Warriors are the type of franchise who I can see going all in for their franchise player and doing everything they can to give him one more shot at a title. I know Jonathan Kuminga's been playing well lately. He's been playing a lot of minutes, but maybe they've been shopping him a little bit, putting him in the shop window, showing that he can actually get buckets. So I can see a Kuminga for Jimmy trade, you know, around Kuminga with other pieces, of course. But the Warriors, Barn, they started the season 9-2. Since then, they've been 5-8. And that actually coincides with when D'Anthony Melton went down. So they were 9-2 with him, 5-8 since. So I think maybe he would be packaged in the trade as well. It's such a shame to see him go down. But yeah, I think the Warriors are the leading candidate, don't you?
Yeah, I definitely do, Tim's. I definitely do. And like you say, he'd actually be a perfect fit on there.
He really would.
He adds to the Warriors also what they need. I mean, Jimmy's great on both ends of the floor. Doesn't shoot the three ball that well, but that's not why they would want him, is it, Tim? So they've got 3-point shooters to surround Jimmy. He can go down the lane. He can shoot his mid-rangers, post up. No, he'd be a great fit. Now, the Suns, I thought that was such a funny name to throw in the hat. Because, Tim, they've got three guys on 50 million.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal, people might forget that he earns $50 million a year. You expect Book and KD to earn 50 mil. But you forget that Beal earns that as well. So would they ship Beal to the Heat? Would it be a straight swap? But, I mean, not being funny, Tim's, Jimmy adds so much more to a team than Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
I don't mind how Beal slots into his role on the Suns, to be quite honest with you. He obviously doesn't have the usage rate he had when he was on the Wizards for all those years. But I really don't mind how he slots into the Suns. He just shouldn't be earning 50 million.
Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to see how they can make it happen, though.
Yeah.
Like you say, Beal's on 50 million. After the big three, Nurkic on 18 million. Grayson Allen, 15.5 million.
Wow.
Royce O'Neal, 10, but I think he's a piece they'd quite like to keep. Josh Okogie, 8 million. And that's it. Everyone else is on a rookie deal or a minimum contract. So it's going to be difficult for them to make it happen without potentially shipping Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't really see the Suns being a realistic contender for landing Jimmy, to be honest.
Yeah. Tims, do you reckon that's what Jimmy's agent was having a go at Shams for? But he made it sound weird.
Yeah, sure.
they just got caught up in a miscommunication.
Yeah, potentially. I'm looking at the Warriors roster now. I think Andrew Wiggins would have to be involved in this trade, Barm.
I think?
And he's playing well this season too.
Yeah,
earning $26 million per year. If you add Melton's $12 million, Kuminga's obviously on only a $7 million, still part of his rookie contract there. And then maybe you'd pretty much have enough to go for Jimmy. But I don't know. Shipping Wiggins would be a loss for the Warriors. Obviously, one of the few players still on their roster who was on their most recent title-winning team.
Yeah, and he was a big part of that, Tims, as well, wasn't he?
Really was. And he's had he played so well that season. Then he had an off-season or two even, but he's found his rhythm again this year, I think.
He's back, yeah.
It would be a shame to see him then shipped off.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tims. I agree. But we'll see what happens, Tims. It might be that Shams is actually talking complete shite. And that Jimmy's staying in Miami. someone is going to look like a fool at the end of it.
Absolutely.
I'm so ready to see who it is.
Yeah, sure. But I'm not going to lie. I am picturing Jimmy in that Warriors uniform. And it's looking...
Yeah, it's nice. Perfect. Suits him. Suits him, doesn't it?
Quite nice for
Although,
sure.
Tim, no, the Mavs uniform suits him so well, but I know it's not going to happen. That would be one of my dream trades.
No doubt. So, Barn, one of the things that has taken place this week is Nikola Jokic, again. He had two 50-point games in a row?
He was 56 and then 48, Tim.
56 and 48, so averaging over 50 over a two-game span. I mean, that's his two most recent games. I'll just read out his stat lines. 56, 16, and 8. And these are both on over 50% shooting from the field and three. And then he went 48, 14, and 8. And they actually went 1-of-1 in these two games, including a loss to the Washington Wizards, Barn.
It's so good, isn't it?
56, yet losing to the Washington Wizards, the worst team in the NBA by some way, I would say. I mean, what do you make of that?
I don't get it, Tims. I don't get how it's possible. The Wizards, Jordan Poole, Tims, he made 9 of 23. So actually, he had a really good game. 39, 5 and 8 for Jay Poole. Champagne for the Wizards, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. He had 23 and 8. Valanciunas had 20 and 12. They all shot really efficiently.
Yeah.
And the Nuggets, I mean, you've touched on this a lot more than I have, Tims, that when Jokic is on the floor, they are the best team offensively in the league. And when he's off the floor, they're the worst team offensively. Now, he sat for 10 minutes of that game. They lost by 9. But actually, Jokic's plus-minus, which is terrible for him, usually has a great box plus-minus, was -1. So, Jokic, they without Jamal Murray as well. But, Tims, it's kind of unforgivable, isn't it, the whole thing?
Oh, it completely is. And I mean, Jokic was 3 of 6 from 3.
Mm.
The rest of the team, 2 of 19, Barn. 2 of 19 in that game. So, I think that explains why they lost this game. But this roster is not exactly title contending right now. Jokic has to do everything, literally everything. Even defensively, he's doing everything. I think Christian Brown said it taking a step this year. We've mentioned him having a good year. But apart from that, this roster is really struggling right now.
They sure are, Tims. And I don't think Christian Brown has taken a great step on his progression. Yeah. But he hasn't taken enough of a step for him to be, let's say, the second option when Murray's out. He's still not quite that player yet, is he?
No.
So When you have a guy like MPJ who shoots 0 from 5 from the field, that guy's a 40% three-point shooter. You can't, at least, right, at least they had their off game against the Wizards, a game that no one really gives a fuck about.
Yeah.
Like, this will be forgotten very quickly, won't it, Tim?
Yeah, so, but that's a game on their schedule that they have as a W before, you know, 2 weeks
before. So true. And it's, you're right, Tim, it's not like the Nuggets are high up in the West at the moment. Exactly. They're in the play-in at the moment. They're 12-10.
Seven seed. In the play-in spots for now, Lakers, Timberwolves and Suns all within half a game of them. And then you have one game back, the Kings and the Spurs, in the 11 and 12 seeds. So if the Nuggets aren't careful, they're going to slide straight out the playoff picture.
Yeah.
Because the Kings and Spurs as well, Barn, they're not going to be far off at all come the end of the season.
No way. No, the Nuggets might have to seriously think about this roster, Tim, because when you've got Jokic, one of the best players in history, having a game like that, 56, 16 and 8, and you don't get over the finish line, especially against one of the worst teams in the league, I don't know. Yeah, they'll brush it under the rug completely, and as they should, right? I'm not sure what you learn from a game like that, apart from we need to do better. Yeah. Jokic, Tim's, what a player. Whenever I watch him, I just cannot believe what I'm watching. I watched a Jimmy High Roller. Do you ever watch any of his, Tim?
Occasionally, yeah.
I do like him. I go off and on him. He's a bit too statistical for me sometimes, but in this Jokic video he just uploaded, wow. So, Tim's, little stat for you, yeah? So, only two players ever have had a box plus minus of more than 12 in NBA history. Jordan's done it twice. LeBron's done it once. Now, LeBron is the only player ever to have a box plus minus of above 13 until Nikola Jokic, who is about to have his fifth straight season of a box plus minus of more than 12.
That is absurd.
Isn't that crazy? And LeBron was in his 08-09 season, Tims, when he has the highest usage rate ever. Yeah. Highest usage. I think it was done on touches per 100 possessions. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think LeBron's was like 102 touches per 100 possessions. Yeah. Highest ever by quite a bit. Jokic's touches per possessions in the last three seasons, not even just one season, I think he's like 113. So not only is he touching it every possession, he's touching it multiple times on multiple possessions.
Crazy.
Absolutely ridiculous, Tims, isn't it?
Absolutely crazy. I'm looking now, 13.8 is his number so far this season. Next best is Shea at 10.2.
Yeah.
And they're the only players above 10. Like, oh, he's so far ahead of everyone else.
Yeah,
so
really is.
Everyone else in this
really
metric.
And Jimmy,
the next best Denver player.
God, that will be so far down, won't it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Let's have a look. So, okay, Jokic is at the top. I'm scrolling down. Next best is actually, can you guess which Denver player it is?
Well, I think it might be Christian Brown.
Well, it's actually not. It's actually Russell Westbrook, and he has a 0.2 rating.
0.2.
Michael Porter Jr. has 0.2 as well.
God.
Oh, that
is... Jokic has the highest box plus minus in a single season ever so far this season, and their next best is 0.2.
Then they have a couple. Wow. Christian Brown, minus 0.6. Jamal Murray, minus 1.
This is
ugly, Barn.
That is ridiculous, isn't it?
That is ridiculous.
Now, I did see an article the other day on why it might be so bad, and I don't necessarily disagree with this, Tims, and you won't either. You'll get where they're coming from.
Go on.
So, it was when you take a player like Jokic out of the game, that literally their offense runs through him every play. So when you take him out, obviously they're going to struggle. But as the coaching staff, surely you have plays for this, right? So I completely agree with what they're saying. Like we said, Jokic touches the ball multiple times in multiple possessions. He has the ball every single time down the floor. So when you take him out of the game, then you're going to suffer slightly, but you have to have a game plan here, don't you? Like, we thought that Russ would maybe take the reins when Jokic was off the floor. And I liked Russ for a couple of games. He was doing that in minutes where Jokic was off. But hasn't quite materialised, Tim's, has it?
Absolutely not. And yeah, like you say, the coaches, they do know he's going to not play 48 minutes. They do know there's going to be 8 to 15 minutes every game that Jokic is not playing. So surely they have planned for that.
Yeah.
You're right. And that's kind of why I thought Westbrook was a nice pickup for them, because there are going to be those minutes. And it's not a bad thing to give the ball to Westbrook, I think, in those small minutes and let him create stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, like you say, they need something. They need something to happen badly to this roster. You know, they haven't been mentioned in the Jimmy Butler trade talk, so I'm not sure if he's a viable option for them contractually. But yeah. They need something. They need a spark for sure, because they're not winning they're not getting close to a title at this rate.
No, no way, Tim. And they should. Obviously, they're slightly unhealthy at the moment. Jamal's not playing at the minute. I don't know why, actually. But I think they should use Russ, like, literally only when everyone's healthy. I think they should use Russ only when Jokic is off the floor. Because Russ, historically, he's not good off the ball, Tims. He shoots okay from three in his career, but he's not a spot-up three-point shooter.
Yeah.
He's hit threes in big moments, that's what we remember. But Russ is one of the best ball handlers ever, Tims. He's one of the most explosive point guards we've ever seen. Russ, prime Russ, is, if you ask me to pick three players to watch, right, in their prime, Russ would be in my top three, without a doubt. God, that guy was exciting. And he hasn't really lost any explosiveness. When he is the number one option, so when Jokic is off the floor, put Russ as your number one option, handles the ball every time down the floor, only play him in minutes when Jokic is off. That guy will do good things, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just thinking about this box plus minus. That 13.6 difference between the top and second player has to be the largest of all time, right?
It would be impossible not to be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Tim's, it would be physically impossible, I think, because Jokic's 13.6 this season is the highest ever so far.
Yeah.
And there's no way, I guess, Tim's, check bronze if you can. Check bronze 08-09 season. Because Jordan's huge seasons, there's no way that Scottie Pippen had a negative box plus minus.
Yeah.
Absolutely no way. His was probably over 10 as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, for sure. 08-09 was the season for...
08-09 was bronze huge season.
I'll work on it.
Cool. Tim's, what else have I been watching this week? A 76ers have finally won a couple in a row.
Yeah. Which,
yeah, it actually pisses me off that they're now going to be in playing contention just because of how shit the East is. Don't really like dwelling on the East in our podcast because it bores me. I mean, Brooklyn are the eighth seed with 10 and 14. I mean, that puts you just above Portland in the West, Tim's,
yeah,
which is absolutely ridiculous. They beat the Magic with no Embiid, which, yeah, it's no mean feat, actually. And Franz was still playing. He might have even gone down in that game. And they beat the Bulls with everyone healthy. Everyone pitched in. PG had an all right game. Maxi seems like he can actually play basketball again, which is nice to see.
Yeah.
He seemed to have lost all talent for a few weeks, but but he's back to best. The Weak East does annoy me, Tims. So... We won't dwell too much on that.
No, let's not dwell on it. I mean, yeah. I think the Pistons are the 11 seed at 10 and 16.
Yeah.
Whereas you look at the Spurs, they're the 12 seed in the West at 500 at 12 and 12. Like,
yeah.
It's the difference between these conferences right now.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous. Now, Tim's question for you. If you were going to be a fan of one team in the league, yeah, who would you least like to be a fan of at the moment?
I would say the Wizards, right?
Would you?
I think it would be the Wizards.
So I was thinking about the Wizards, but at least they're tanking well.
Yeah, that's true.
And you've got the opportunity for Cooper Flagg next season. I mean, he seems like a once in a lifetime player. I mean, he's absolutely unbelievable, that guy. Oh, you never know how it translates to NBA, but For example, this year with Risenshea being the number one pick, it wasn't like having a Wemby or a Cooper Flagg or a Zion. Do you know what I mean? No one was that bothered about tanking last season. Teams were just bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Wizards. Tim's, I think my pick would be the Blazers, you know?
Really? Really?
The Blazers just have nothing about them. They pay $90 million in total to Anfernee Simons, DeAndre Ayton, Jeremy Grant. And what do those guys do? With the Wizards, right, you know you're going to lose week in, week out. And you have these funny games where you beat the Hawks and you beat the Nuggets.
Yeah, they're actually a meme team, right?
Yeah, yeah, they're a meme team, and then suddenly they beat these teams that they really shouldn't be beating. So I think that's quite fun. But Portland are just shite. it would be sad to be a Pelicans fan at the moment, to be honest, as well, Tim.
Yeah, I was thinking Pelicans as well.
Yeah, just because last season they were all right. And injuries have plagued them this season. And their players who aren't injured just aren't stepping up to the boat at the moment. CJ McCollum's had a couple of good games recently, but yeah, no, it would be sad. No, it just popped into my head. Yeah,
it's an interesting one. I think the Blazers, I like Shaedon Sharpe. I like watching him occasionally he's pretty electrifying, right? He's got some insane dunks in him. Yeah. I think he had the highest recorded vert so far this season, 45 inches on one of his alley-oops recently, Barn.
Wow, that's good.
They've got Denny Avdija, who came over from the Wizards last year. This season, he's doing 12, 6, and 3. I mean, it's not really taking a big step from his season last year. Mm. I just feel like the Blazers have some exciting pieces compared to the Wizards, you know? But like you say, the Wizards, they're going for Cooper Flagg. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, teams, I get where you're coming from, but you expect like I said, the Wizards fans know that they're not exciting.
Yeah.
Whereas Blazers fans probably expect to win like way more games than they're winning.
Yeah. but Barn, I've got an answer for you.
Tell me, sir.
Plus minus from 08-09. So LeBron had 13.2. Next best player on the Cavs was actually Mo Williams. And he was 34th. And he was 34th overall with 2.3. So it's not quite as bad as... it's nowhere near as bad as Denver. Their next best player was 94th this year.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Still, that's still quite incredible, though, Tim's, for the 08-09 Cavs. Yeah.
Sure. But yeah, Jokic, he needs some help. I mean, I see all these conversations now. Is this the greatest peak in basketball ever? You know? And to think this is on a team that are struggling to make the playoffs, it's crazy.
Yeah. And Tim's, the arguments for it, my word, they have material, don't they? They've got substance.
Yeah.
Is this the greatest basketball peak we've ever seen? You would be stupid to say no.
Yeah, it's got to be close, if not, right?
Precisely. Definitely in the running. Definitely in the running.
Yeah.
Tim's, just one last thing on Jokic, before we move on to other things. On Jimmy Hirola's vid, then he was saying how a couple of seasons ago, before Jokic's 3-year peak he was doing, he was analysing, then teams did have an answer for him. Well, not necessarily an answer, but they would kind of try and shove him out to the perimeter and make him chuck up threes because he didn't shoot that well from three. But this season, he's shooting over 50%.
Outrageous.
Like, what can you do? What can you do? Literally. That's crazy, isn't it?
Completely unstoppable.
Yeah. No, he really is, Sims. He really is.
Much Wemby this past week?
I'll be honest, Tim's, absolutely nothing, sir.
No, he's not. I mean, they've only played one game, I think, since the last week's podcast, but it was a victory. Yeah. Wemby, I'm just interested because he suddenly was shooting phenomenally from three. His season average is now 34% from three on 9 attempts. Okay. And actually, I wanted to bring up the Spurs because we enjoy a nickname here, and there's another nickname on the Spurs. Have you heard this one?
No.
So it's about Wemby and Stephon Castle, the rookie.
Yeah.
And it's about their defensive prowess, and they're called Area 51. So that's also because Wemby's jersey number is 1, Castle's is 5. Nice. Area 51 defensively for the Spurs. I'm really enjoying this little duo on the Spurs, actually.
Yeah, I know you love Stephon Castle.
Yeah, I really
he's been
do.
Great.
Really
been really good. And Tim, sorry, they call Wemby the alien sometimes as well, don't they? So it fits perfectly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But no, yeah.
Tim's, I like the Spurs as well. Obviously, we had CP3 passing Jay Kidd in assists last week, which he's a great little addition to the Spurs. Veteran mind, he seems like a really genuine guy trying to help the guys through their NBA career.
Sure.
Yeah. I wonder what they're going to be able to do this season. Really hoping Stephon Castle can keep up what he's been doing. He's your front runner for Rookie of the Year, and I wouldn't disagree with you.
Yeah, I think he's got a great chance by the end of the season. I was just thinking about the Nuggets and their playoff chances, which is what brought me onto the Spurs, really, because they could, you know, they've missed Sohan for part of this season. Devin Vassell's been out. I think also Keldon Johnson has been in and out a little bit. They've had a few players not playing consistently, you know, and they're still averaging 12. They're still 12-12 behind CP3 and Wemby. So
yeah,
I think they've got a good chance. I'd love to see them make a play in. I think that would be an awesome step for Wemby in his second season, don't you?
Yo, Tims, it would be great. It would be absolutely brilliant. Sure. And it would be nice to see how Wemby performs under real pressure, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. It'd be great to see him in a kind of playoff atmosphere, even if it's just the play-in, you know?
Yeah, and I think he'd love it as well, Tibbs. I actually think he'd really perform. Now, my only issue with Wemby, yes, he's been shooting well from three recently, but he's got to take it to the rim more. When you're that tall, Tibbs, obviously chucking up threes is great, but someone like Kevin Durant, he doesn't just chuck up threes all day. KD's got a lovely mid-range and he takes it to the rim a lot. I think he needs to vary himself a bit more.
Absolutely. He's just, like Kristaps, it's the Kristaps problem.
Like that dick Kristaps, yeah. Like Kristaps now actually does for the Celtics and he never did for us. Yes, Tim's that guy.
Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to touch on the Celtics as well. Because they're playing ridiculously, Barn. Also, just in the way they're shooting so many threes. They shoot so many threes. I think there was a game recently they shot over 60 threes. I might be mistaken, but they're averaging over 50 threes a game. It's crazy. They're breaking basketball.
Yeah. Oh, they really are, Tim. How's that possible? Averaging over 50 threes a game. But they're all obviously shooting at quite a high clip as well, or not?
Yeah, I mean, so they lost to the Grizzlies recently. Mm. And I saw Drew Holiday was lights out from three, particularly from the corner last season. He's not shot so well this year. So the Grizzlies just left him open. did you see how many threes he took against them a couple of days ago?
Go on.
He took 17 threes.
Oh!
Can you guess how many he made?
Two.
He made four. He was 4-17 from three.
That is disgusting.
And that's combined with Tatum, 1-10 from three. Porzingis, 3-10. Derek White was 2-7. Off the bench, Peyton Pritchard was 6-11. So they had three players shooting at least 10 threes in a single game. And they shot 60 threes in the entire game. I mean, it's crazy.
Absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. And Tims, when you've got a talented team like Boston... I didn't watch the game, obviously, so maybe all the threes were open like Drew's were. But you've got so many other ways to score. You don't need to live and die by the three, do you?
Van, I love this development of you getting more and more annoyed by teams literally chugging up 60.
It's so annoying.
Yeah.
Tims, if you're a shit team, right, if you have no offensive schemes, yeah, taking someone one-on-one, having an isolation play where you just chuck up threes, yeah, that's fine. Like, again, I watch no Wizards games because there's no point. But I bet that's what Jordan Poole does every time down the floor, isn't it?
For sure.
Because they have no schemes and there's no point having any fucking schemes. They're not going to win enough games to do anything this season. But a team like Boston, they've got so many ways to score. Why do it? Yeah. it does. Yes, Tims, it does piss me off.
Barn, I know you're a trivia man. You like a bit of trivia.
Sure do.
Shall we move on to this week's trivia section?
Yeah, let's do it. Tims, I think this should be a regular on the podcast.
I think so. So, I mean, Barn, this was your idea, so why don't you explain to everyone?
It was. No, I saw something yesterday of... someone who was drafted by a team I did not know. And I thought, oh, wouldn't it be great to test Tim's trivia knowledge on this? So I thought maybe we could have a little section every week. Me and Tim's both bring something to the floor. Five trivia questions. Completely, they can be current questions, they can be historical questions. But Tim's, I don't know what you bring to the floor this week, so I'm slightly... I wanted you to give me a heads up so I could do some homework, but...
Yeah, you were poking for a little bit.
I was really trying, so I could have a quick Google beforehand. Right, Tim, shall I kick us off?
If you'd like.
Yeah, nice. So you know exactly what I'm doing this week, Tim. So it's who drafted these players, which teams? So, with the 39th pick in the 2012 season, this team drafted Chris Middleton. He played there for one season. Oh, sorry, everyone. I did explain this to Tim's beforehand, but I'm not doing stupid ones like, let's say, who drafted Dirk Nowitzki, because Dirk was traded on draft night by the Bucks to the Mavs, or who drafted Luka. The players I have picked actually played for the teams that drafted them for at least one season, all right?
Okay.
So, Tim's 39th pick in 2012, they drafted Chris Middleton, and he played there for one season.
Oh, I've got two teams in mind. It's either the Rockets or the Pistons I'm going to go for, but I'll go with... I can picture him in a kind of one of those jerseys, you know? I'll go for the Pistons.
Tim's, you bang on!
Come on!
You bang on! Yeah, he drafted by the Pistons, age 21.
Come on.
He averaged 6.1 in 27 games that season.
Interesting.
I am very impressed, Tim's, because I would never have got that. I thought the Bucks drafted him.
I'd love to know how he made his way to the Bucks. So he was part of a big trade.
Yeah.
We'll have a look.
But no, he got traded to the Bucks. He doubled in points average. He played all 82 games the next season, so it was obviously the right thing for him.
Yeah.
Right, next up, Tim. I want no Googling, by the way.
Of course.
I do trust you. Tim's, with the sixth pick in 2016, this team drafted Buddy Hield. And he played there for two seasons.
Sixth pick. What year was it?
2016, sir.
Was it the Pelicans?
Yeah.
Come on.
Well done. This is great. He came fourth in Rookie of the Year voting. He played all 82 games for the Pels.
Yeah.
Oh, Tim's 2 for 2. Love it.
What did you predict I would get before the podcast? It was 2 out of 5, right?
No, that's what I predicted I would get if you asked me the same questions. Okay. Yeah, I had a bit more faith in you, Tim's. But no, you're doing great.
I'm happy with this so far. By the way, coming back to Chris Middleton.
Oh yeah, go on.
Traded along with Brandon Knight and Vladislav Kravtsov for Brandon Jennings. He went to the...
Oh, how funny. Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, that worked out for the Bucks, didn't it? That worked really well.
Yeah.
Tim's number three. We've got a Bucks theme here. So, Bobby Portis. He was drafted with the 22nd pick in 2015, and he played at this team for three seasons.
Yeah. And I know this one.
Do you?
But it's not in my head.
Oh. This one I wouldn't have got in a million years, by the way. He played there for three seasons, though, Tim. This is the crazy part.
I'm just getting at the NBA table so I can see all the teams.
Yeah. In his last season there, he averaged almost 14 points. 14 points, 8 rebounds.
It wasn't the Knicks. Wasn't the Knicks.
It wasn't, sir.
It was the Bulls.
Yeah, well done.
Come on.
What made the light bulb come on, Tim?
I don't know. I just looked at the logo. I could picture Bobby Portis standing in front of it.
Nicely done. 3 of 3.
Come on.
Tim, you're going to get this one. With the ninth pick, well, he plays for you guys. With the ninth pick in 2016, he played there for two seasons. And it's Jakub Pertl.
And it's not the Spurs.
It's not the Spurs?
Not the Spurs.
He was traded to the Spurs from this team.
Yeah. Oh, I'm struggling here, actually. Jakob Pertl. Who did he play for?
In his first two, in his second season there, he played all 82.
Again, I'm just staring.
Came off the bench for 18.6 minutes a game.
Okay, I'm just staring at NBA logos, hoping one will shout to me. But oh, I'm struggling for this one, I have to say. But I think it is there somewhere.
Tim, this might be the sort of one that if it's not immediately in your head,
yeah,
then it might not come.
It might not come, I'm afraid. Oh, I have to have a guess, don't I?
Yeah, but if you get that's the funny thing. If you guess, you're not going to guess it.
Come on, tell me who it is.
Well, it's the Raptors.
It's the Raptors, isn't it? Raptors. Of course it's the bloody Raptors. Oh, no, that's so embarrassing.
That was a slightly tricky one. Yeah, no, you drafted him. No, traded him to the Spurs, then you got him back.
Of course we had him as a rookie. I was thinking it might be anyone but the Raptors, you know?
So that's what I meant. If it's not immediately in your head, you're not going to guess
it. You've done me there for sure.
Yeah. Sorry, Tim. Three for four, yeah. Still amazing. Tim's final one, Dante DiVincenzo, was drafted with the 17th pick by this team in 2018. Now, he played there for four seasons. Okay. He only went to the Knicks in 2022.
Okay, and since then he's played on the Warriors. And
correct.
Since then he's played on the Timberwolves as well. So I don't correct. Think it's either of them.
He went to the Kings in 2022, Tim's. 2021.
Yeah, been on a couple teams recently, hasn't he?
Yeah.
This is difficult. It's not the Bucks.
It is the Bucks.
It's the Bucks.
Well done, Tibbs.
Oh,
4 for 5, mate. I am impressed.
But I'm a bit upset I didn't get Purcell. Of course he was going to the bench. I know that, but
that was a bit naughty from me. That mate, one.
Nicely played.
No, Tibbs, nicely played from you, sir. That knowledge is very wedged in your head, isn't it? I'm so impressed.
Thank you, sir. Anyway, you ready for your game?
Yeah, Tim's. Tell me what it's all about.
Your trivia is about this season, really.
Okay.
I've just got some random stats, some easier, some harder than others on this season so far.
Okay.
Again, five questions. And I think you'll get the first one. First one is, who had the highest scoring game this season and how many points was it?
Oh, who had the highest scoring game this season and how many points were it? And was it De'Aaron Fox?
It was De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox.
And was it 62?
It was 60 points.
60 on the dot, damn it. Yeah.
Jokic come close twice recently, but still, yeah. De'Aaron Fox holds that lead. So well done. One for one.
Thank you, Tim. Ah, no, like half for one, I'd say.
You think?
I should have got 60, shouldn't I?
I think that counts.
Okay, thank you.
So next one is, there was a player this season who won their first player of the week in the NBA at the age of 32. Can you tell me who that player was?
Oh no,
this was more tricky.
Oh no, they won their first player of the week, first ever player of the week
in their entire career. I can tell you more details about this player.
I'm gonna have to get the NBA teams up helpful. Just so I can have a bit of
it's helpful. This player was drafted in 2012, has been playing every season since then.
By who?
Drafted by the Warriors in 2012.
Okay.
This player this season is averaging 11, 4, and 1.5 assists.
11, 4, and 1.5.
Yeah. And they won a player of the week.
Drafted by the Warriors.
Absolutely.
God. Come on, Bam.
I mean, in the player of the week winning week, there was a 20-point game, 25-point game, 22-point game.
20-point game, 25-point game. What conference?
It's Western Conference team. This is a difficult one. If you don't know it, I think it's going to be really difficult. But as you can see, only 11 points per game so far this season.
Yeah, but they obviously had a span of really good games. And drafted by the freaking Warriors.
Yeah, and they'd be playing next to Area 51.
They'd be playing next to Area 51?
And they'd be playing with Area 51.
What the fuck are you on about? It's Rudy Gobert, isn't it?
No, it's not Rudy Gobert.
Oh no, drafted by the Warriors.
No. This player played for the Warriors for a fair number of seasons. And I'll tell you how many.
So he won championships on the Warriors.
This player was with the Warriors for four seasons.
And he won 2016,
and then was actually traded or signed for the Dallas Mavericks.
Once he's been there since.
No, he was there for a few years.
Oh, I thought I was going to be thick as fuck for a second. Yeah. Who was with us for a few years?
They play for the Spurs right now.
Yeah. Okay. They play for the Spurs right now. Yeah, Tim's. I'm completely lost, I'm afraid.
Harrison Barnes.
No.
Harrison Barnes.
How did I not get him? Yeah. Oh, wow.
Week
for the well done, time. Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
Well done, Harrison Barnes. How the fuck did I not get that?
Yeah,
God, you gave me every clue under the sun.
Yeah, no, it's a difficult one, though. Like, he probably, stats-wise, if LeBron James had that stat lines, he wouldn't win Player of the Week, right? But
true, Tim. No, complete mental block on that one, I'm afraid. Yeah,
that's all right. Harrison Barnes, Player of the Week. So, one of two so far.
Yeah.
Okay, this one's not quite related to this season, but Jokic is... So there's been 820 rebound games this season. Jokic has two of them. Can you tell me what his career high in rebounds is?
Jokic's career high in rebounds.
Yeah, this is pure guesswork, but...
It is pure guesswork, but it's... I don't think it's stupidly... I don't think it's that much higher than what I think. 26.
It's 27. 27 for the Hornets, 2022.
God, that's ridiculous, though, isn't it?
Incredible. Yeah. 27 in one game.
Yeah, wow.
Okay, next one is definitely related to this season. And I want you to tell me, who has the most turnovers in a game this season? Which player?
Oh, okay.
It's a bit of a trick question. I'll tell you now, because there's two players with the same number.
Okay. No, that just gives me more chance, Tim. So that's a kind thing.
No, yeah.
My first guess would be Jordan Poole.
No,
okay.
No pool.
So obviously super high usage. Trae Young.
Trae Young is one of the players with 10 turnovers in one game this season.
10.
Yeah.
God, that's so bad, isn't it?
Really?
Tim's, I think I would go for in his bad period, I think I'd go for De'Aaron Fox.
Nope, De'Aaron Fox is not there. Jordan Poole, by the way, his highest so far this season was 8. De'Aaron Fox is not on the list.
Okay.
His season high in turnovers is 7.
Okay.
Another player with 10, though.
Another player with 10. Again, I'm just looking at teams here. Crap team or good team?
Pretty crap team.
Okay. But still, obviously, high usage on a crap team.
Yeah, high usage rate for sure.
Yeah. It's LaMelo Ball, isn't it?
It's LaMelo Ball.
I just scrolled down. I saw the Hornets. I thought, fuck me. It has to be. Yeah.
They train LaMelo with 10 turnovers in a game. I always think, that's horrid, isn't it?
Yeah, that's disgusting. That's disgusting.
Yeah, double-double probably in points and turnovers. But okay, nice one, Bam.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks.
So that's two. And then the final one, and this is my favourite question. So there are 6 games this season. 6 times a player has secured 6 steals or more.
Yeah.
How many of those games belong to the Great Barrier Thief?
How many games?
So there's 6 in total of 6 steals or more.
6 steals or more. Okay, I reckon De'Aaron Fox had a game or two. Maybe just one, where he's had 6 or more. Teams, I reckon 5 of them belong to Dyson Daniels.
You think 5? And who do you think has the other one?
Huh?
And who do you think has the other one?
I think De'Aaron Fox has the 6th.
Oh, you've absolutely nailed it.
Have I?
Great Barrier Thief with 5 games and De'Aaron Fox with 1 of 6 deals.
Wow.
That was impressive, that last one.
I saved myself after the Harrison Barnes.
Very, very nice. I couldn't believe that as you worked it out just perfectly.
Swiper gets a lot of steals, Tim. So he was the only one even on my radar who might have one.
Yeah.
And obviously, Great Barrier Thief is a fucking steel merchant.
Yeah, I thought that was incredible, though. Like, he literally owns almost all of the top steel games so far this season.
That's ridiculous, ridiculous.
We're enjoying the Great Barrier Thief very much this season, aren't we, Ban?
As always, Tims, as always.
I mean, actually, the record is 11 steals in one game.
From?
Last recorded in 1999. Since then, TJ McConnell's had 10 in the game. Lou Williams, 10. Draymond Green, 10. But I just feel maybe there could be a 10-steal game from the Great Barrier Thief.
Yeah, could happen. Who had the game, Tims? Was it John Stockton or something?
Sorry?
Who had the 1999 record? John Stockton?
It was Kendall Gill.
Oh, how strange.
He had 15 points, 10 rebounds, and 11 steals.
Wow.
Nice triple-double there.
Yeah, yeah, love it.
But that was good fun. We'll make that a weekly segment, shall we?
Yeah, we'll have to do it, Tims. We'll have to do it.
Yeah.
And Tims, I know we touched on this before the podcast, but I was watching the Linsanity documentary yesterday.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great to see someone up and coming like that? It's difficult now. I was thinking because of how big social media is. Like back in 2012, 2013, it wasn't that trendy to hate on an up and comer. It was trendy to hate on LeBron or hate on a. But nowadays, everyone gets the hate, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll ever have something that brings that much joy to that many people again.
Yeah.
Sad, isn't it? But my God, Tim's, I was loving it, absolutely loving it. It was like we were back in 2012, 2013 again.
Yeah, no, I love watching the Linsanity games. They were epic. Yeah. They were so good. And I think everyone bats Jeremy Lin after that for the rest of his career, really.
Yeah, correct, Tim's, correct. Right. He didn't get many offers, but is what it is, isn't it?
No. Yeah. But hey, let's hope for a Linsanity at some point in the future again.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And Tim's, obviously, we're watching the Cup this week. Anything else that catches your eye or not particularly?
Oh, I'm all in on the Cup, really, Barn. Can't wait for those games in Vegas. We only have just over a day to wait, probably about a day from when this podcast goes live. So, I can't wait to see who goes through. I'm really looking forward to both games, to be honest.
Me too.
And again, I love how the Cup seems to throw up. You know, the Celtics aren't there, the Cavs aren't there, despite them having the best records so far this season. Mm. You know, you kind of have a mix of teams, some who are just in form, like the Hawks, some like the Thunder, who are probably a title contender. I really love this format of the Cup. I think it's been brilliant.
Me too, Tims. Me too. And Tims, do you have plans tomorrow evening, or are you going to be watching Bucks Hawks?
Whatever plans I have, cancelled, because I'm going to play the game, sure. How about you? Will you be watching live?
No, I'm away tomorrow night. I won't be watching live. I might be. You know what, Tims? If I end up getting drunk enough, I might stay up for the Thunder Rockets game at 1:30 in the morning my time.
Incredible! But you'll miss the Bucks.
I'll definitely miss the Bucks
at 8:30. That's a bit early for you, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Too. Oh well, unless I've had a really terrible day of getting on the beers. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's hope. All things hoping, Barn, that when we gather next week for next week's podcast, you'll have watched that game live. That's what I'll be hoping for.
Yeah, me too, Tims. Me too, sir. Right, Tims, lovely chatting to you as always. Everyone, thank you for listening as always. And we shall see you next week.
Cheers, guys.